I'm trying to suck up the whole class so you guys don't have to do anything. We're trying.
And my recorder will go on in a minute, but I have to put a new battery in. Come on, you can do it. Okay, this is Lori Quinn, and she was a student a few years ago.
It's kind of you.
And she's going to tell you a little bit about her job, her experience, what she does, and that sort of thing.
Cool. So a few years ago, so like I graduated in 1989, so I really feel a little old. But so I came here, I took computer programming because back then we didn't have as many different programs like you guys did. Have right now, so and I graduated in 89 and started a job at a manufacturing company in Fall River as a computer programmer for RPG and COBOL. We did that for a few years and then got a job as a consultant up in Denham working with an RPG case programming language called Asset, and we went to different companies and implemented software and things like that. So I did that for 7 years, and then I got a position at Bayer, the aspirin company. I've been working there for 17 years, and I started there as a computer programmer for RPG COBOL, and I had an opportunity to get on a project in Germany, so I learned a whole different language and a whole different system called SAP. And I went to Germany with a one-way ticket and not knowing German except for, you know, Danke and, you know, Gesundheit. And I didn't really know the people, but I worked there for 2.5 years. We implemented 13 countries onto the SAP system. And I worked with people from all around the world. We had people from 31 different countries working there. So, and I lived in Germany for 2.5 years. And so I did that and then came back to the U.S. and worked in a SAP comp center where we actioned issues with SAP for different, because we had diagnostics and animal health and crop science, so Bayer is a bigger company with, you know, different animal health, different segments. So worked there, worked on that for maybe 5 years, and then for the last 6 years I've been working in the HR system where I work with people all around the world. I work on change management and implementing projects and so forth. So, and I still, you know, I travel to Germany still. I've traveled to Brazil, and I've been working from home for the last 14 years. So, so that's kind of my career since BCC, and all of that I've done, you know, with just my associate's degree. Back in 2009, my manager came to me and said, "Hey, do you want to go back to school?" Because I never really believed in going back to school because I didn't think history or English was going to make me do better in what I'm doing. I did a lot of technical classes, you know, for my career, what I was doing to, you know, be better. So anyway, so they said, "Hey, we'll pay for it." I was like, "All right, cool." So I have been going to UMass Dartmouth. I graduated in 2015 with my bachelor degree, and I'm going back for my master's. So I'm kind of a long-time student. You know, I don't want to give up my email address. I've got so many things attached to it, that's what I said. But anyway, so I go back to school. I'm going back to school. But I've done this, like, with all my, just my, you know, without my bachelor's degree, with just my associate's degree. And just, you know, all I can say is just work. Gotta work hard, get your foot in the door. You know, I'm grateful to be making as much as someone with a master's when I just had my associate's degree, so it's possible. And there's a lot of, you know, my story is kind of spanned because in IT, you know, I started as a programmer, but then I started to do different things too, and I do some project management. So the thing is, it's like, you know, just because you get into a company with just, you know, computer programming, you can move, and sometimes opportunities, you know, come up, and, like, I never thought I'd work in, you know, in Germany, and so it's like, hey, you know, it was a whole new system, I learned a whole new programming language, and that's what's cool about IT is that, you know, things can change, opportunities can come up, and you can kind of like, oh, all right, hey, let me try that. I mean, I was scared to death, but it's like, you know, I'll never get that opportunity again, so Yeah, so I did it, and I was supposed to be there for 6 months, 3 to 6 months, and I was there for 2.5 years, so just the way it worked out. I was the only woman on the IT team in Germany. There were 21 guys from India, from England, from Germany, from France, so I, you know, had a lot of interactions with different people. But there's not enough women in this career. You know, usually when I'm in meetings, it's like maybe 2 to 3 women to 10 guys, you know, but... You know, you just hang in there. Sometimes it hasn't been easy, but, you know, you just kind of roll with it. And, but we can do it. And my thing is, I, you know, hope women will stay in this program and graduate. Because, like, I work from home. I've been working from home for, like I said, since I've been back from Germany. So, you know, it gives me the opportunity to, you know, put the kids on the bus and work. And I take it seriously because my the closest office to me is Pittsburgh. New Jersey and Pittsburgh. In fact, next week I'll be traveling to Pittsburgh. But I take it seriously because, you know, I work from home and it's a, you know, it's a responsibility and I'm there on the computer, you know, and I don't take it for granted. I'm really working. So, again, there's so much opportunity in IT. So even, if, again, you start off here, you know, in 10 years you can be over here. So it runs the gamut. There's so much to do. And as we get, you know, more in the future, you're going to have companies that want, you know, the latest technology or, like, you know, an idea. And, you know, just have courage and say, hey, you know what, I've got a crazy idea, let's try this. And, you know, so, again, it's a great career and it's very flexible. So, yeah, so I don't know, that's, you know. So I'm kind of proof that, hey, I came to BCC and I got my associate's degree. And, you know, I worked really hard and I don't, again, don't take it for granted. But it is, you know, I got my foot in the door as a computer programmer and, you know, now I'm working with people from around the world, and I love what I do, and, you know, that's, yeah, so, again, there's so much in the, and, you know, my parents are the ones, and back in the 80s, you know, I graduated 87 from high school, you know, my mom's like, you know, you should do something with computers, and honestly, I was like, are you kidding? Like, I didn't really like computers, because we only had, like, basic, we didn't have the internet and stuff like that. And I came here, and I struggled. I mean, Professor Grosso was my teacher. And there were times I was like, what am I doing? This totally sucks. Like, I am never going to make it. And I, you know, I graduated. Again, it was my parents. I'm like, you know, this is where the money is going to be, and this and that. And it's like, oh, man. But I stuck with it. And matter of fact, when I graduated, I was two courses shy. I had an incomplete. So, but Professor Grosso let me, you know, finish the classes after I graduated. But the thing is, like, here you have support, and I wish I would have asked more questions to understand, because she'd be up here on the board, and I'd be like, she's talking Greek, I totally don't get it. But all of a sudden, it clicked one time, and I was like, all right, I think I can do this. So, like, even if you get discouraged, like, you know, ask questions, they're all here to support you. And even, you know, trying to get jobs and get yourself into a job, you know, I see a lot of support from people who just graduated here that are in companies and bring people from BCC. So don't be discouraged and, you know, keep on trucking. And, yeah, don't drop off. You guys can do it. If I can do it, you guys can do it. Seriously. So, honestly. So yeah, so that's my spiel.
So why don't we take questions for the end and get everybody talking?
Yeah. So thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And then we can. Would you like a minute? Okay. It's all done, so.
Hello. I'm Carolyn Dorsky. I work for State Street Bank. I've been there for 2 years, a little over 2 years, starting in January of 2016. And the semester before that, the 2 semesters before that, the fall and the spring, I was here doing a certificate in computer programming. And most of my courses were with Professor Grosser. So I'm going to, usually I come with notes, but this time I've been so busy this week because I'm going on vacation tomorrow and I've got all this stuff to get done. So it's been nuts. So you're just going to get me, I might miss some things I usually say, but here we go. So I'm going to tell you first why I went into computers. And I went into computers twice. Once, right when I, well, pretty much after I got out of high school, I went to a business college because my dad, you know, broad range there, lots of possibilities. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And then I discovered that I really hated accounting. And so my dad told me, well, why don't you try computers? You like doing puzzles, all kinds of puzzles. So I did that, and I loved it. Loved computers. So if you like, you know, working out little problems, the computers is a good field for you because you want to do something that you enjoy doing. You, every time I come here, I find a lot of kids going into gaming. And great, you do that because you like gaming and it's exciting and all that. But computers programming is not boring in other fields. Every business pretty much has computers. You know, what do I know about finance? I hate finance along with accounting. So here I am working at a bank, but I'm doing applications to support the processing of small teams. I work on Access Database with VBA. Pretty basic, you think, but actually, it's really, this program I started with has, oh my gosh, it's gotten big. It's got all sorts of things in it, and kind of jumping around here, I know. What I love about this is that it's I can do whatever I want here, my design. I'm in control. This whole thing is mine. I've worked on a few other projects too, but this one thing, client onboarding support, is really my baby. So, back to going into computer programming. So I love computer programming. When I got out of college, I didn't find a job right away in that, so I went to a temp agency. Got those, you know, go out for a week or two here and there, or a little bit longer, and I was working as a secretary, and I got in a place in Newport, and then after like 3 months there, they hired me as a programmer, because they knew that's what my degree was in. So when you go looking for a job, you know, try everything, you might find an open door somewhere that you didn't expect. I worked there for about 8 years, 6 to 8 years, somewhere in there, that was a long time ago. And then I had kids, and I decided, since my husband actually made enough, that I could stay home and he could support us. That's what I did. I became a stay-at-home mom, and I ended up staying at home longer than my kids did. So I was a stay-at-home mom for like 26 years. And then I decided it was time to start working again. And it had been so long that I considered everything. Like, well, do I just go out and, you know, get a job working as a teller at a grocery store or something. I don't know. Yeah?
Was there a huge difference between how you felt then and how you felt now?
You know, well, I thought that there would be, because everybody says how computers have changed so much in that time, and they have all the object-oriented programming wasn't around that beginning. But really, coding is coding. It's just logic. You're working through logic, and it really hasn't changed that much. Yeah. So I decided, well, I couldn't get hired. Well, no, let me step back. I decided that if I was going to spend my time working, I might as well work at something that I knew I enjoyed, and then I knew I could make some good money, better money than working as a teller in a grocery store. So I came here and got my certificate, and this is something I really pushed when I was here. It was a big jump after not being in, I mean, I really didn't do much at all with computers in that time I was away. I didn't do any coding. So it was a little scary coming back here, working next to you guys that are my kids' age, you know? But I managed. I did well. I worked for you as your, what do you call it, student assistant or whatever in the lab. And then when it was done, it turned out that Professor Grosser's neighbor worked for State Street Bank and couldn't find anybody who wanted to work in Access Database with VBA. And so she suggested me. I went for the interview and I got the job right away. It's great. So that's my two careers. Back. Not back-to-back. And the first time I went in was more because of my father's advice, you know, about going. Oh, he also told me to, what was it? Let me get this straight. Pick a job that will support your hobbies rather than the job that is your hobby, because once you take a job that's your hobby, then it's your work. It's not that fun anymore for you, it's a hobby. Back to the human thing. And back to looking at everything. So I went from working for, I worked at the War College for a little bit, doing that in the beginning. And then I switched and did some business programming for subcontractors to the Navy. And now I'm at a bank. I do the other programming jobs? I don't think so. I think that's about it. But anyhow, that's quite a jump right there. And again, you can look anywhere for jobs that are already. They pay pretty well since I've been at State Street for 2 years. They give both a pay raise and a bonus. And the first year I got a good pay raise at 3%. You know, that's better than the usual industry pay raise. And then this past year actually I got a promotion and an 8% raise along with the bonus. So, you know, it's climbing and you can do that once you get in the door, even if you take, and that's what I did too, to get this job. I didn't ask for a whole, you know, a huge salary. I wanted to get in the door. So I'd suggest that too. Get in the door someplace. And then you can, you know, go from there. And you can switch companies easily at that point. Once you get a little bit of experience under your belt, you can switch jobs and jump to where, you know, you might like to be better and get a better increase.
You went in, did you know what you were doing, or you have people?
This job, I went in there and the guy said, well, you pretty much learn by doing. And that was one of the questions in the interview too, was like, do you need to work with a team or do you work on your own? And of course I said, well, I'd like either. So I didn't know what I was getting into. I work on my own. I look on Google all the time if I have questions. I mean, like all the time too, because I don't remember everything. You know, especially like list boxes, how to determine which item is picked or how to pick an item in that for the person or whatever. Oh my gosh, I have to look it up every time. It's ridiculous. Because it's very picky too. You know that if you've done any coding, it's picky. I spent like half a day recently trying to find out a problem and I found out it was because I either missed an underscore in a word or I had to. And that was it. So, if those kind of things drive you nuts, computing's not for you. You've got to have patience, and you've got to be willing to just dig.
Well, I don't know. I think it can still drive you nuts.
It does drive me nuts. Like a half day doing that, I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding. But let me think. While I'm thinking, are there any other questions? Yeah.
I was working for the South Dakota.
That was a good job. Yeah. I liked everything I did over there.
Yeah,
it was great. I think things have changed a lot since I was there. I don't think they're, they've kind of shrunk down. But it was great. Again, it was logic, and really didn't matter what I was doing.
I have a good friend
who's
out there.
I've
been in the same place.
No, I worked for like 3 different companies while I was there. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to kind of take questions at the end and then everybody can answer questions. So if you are done.
I think I'm done.
Okay.
And I think she mentioned another good thing about the programming if you like this. So State Street Bank is up in Quincy, the long way. It's when I started there, I had to drive up there every day. Now I work 2 days a week up there and 3 days at home. So things like that you can do with the program.
Okay,
very good. guys.
Good to meet you.
I'm Terry Ott. It's hard to believe, but it's been 10 years since I sat with your city. And even back then, I was the token old guy in the class. I didn't come by computers the way most of you do. You guys, I can tell you, you're making a good decision. I came the hard way. When I graduated high school, I went to a year of college, and then I thought, hey, you know what? If you work hard, I believed in the American way. If you work hard, you can work your way up through a company. And I did that. I worked in a textile mill, just worked third shift, but I worked hard. Ultimately, I worked my way up to the point where I was a plant manager. However, my downfall was I couldn't speak Chinese. And all the jobs went over to China. There's nothing left. So I was in my mid-late 40s. Don't have a job. Don't know what to do. Now, I was part of a plan back then, where if you lost your jobs to imports, because so many people were, especially there were so many manufacturing jobs, that was the mass exodus back in the mid to late 90s or whenever that was, I don't even know anymore. But there was a mass exodus of manufacturing, so the government set up a plan. You get 2 years, they'll pay for 2 years of schooling, and you can still get a lot of unemployment. Well, that's not a bad deal. And that might have been, I figured that was about the only chance I had to succeed. So I looked down the list of everything that they offered, and there seemed to be, how can I say this? It's not easy losing, being in a career for 25 years and then suddenly it is no more. So if there's one thing I made up my mind, I had to provide for my family. So when I looked at that list, there was only one opportunity that I saw where I knew I wasn't going to get laid off again, where I wasn't going to end and go overseas, and that was computer programming. Now I could get an associate's degree, they paid for 2 years, and there were two schools that I picked that were evenly rated, the Bristol Community College and New England Tech. They had the same rating by the government as far as being good. Well, I live closer to here, so I'm not going to drive to Warwick every day, so I came here. All right, this is what I tell you guys. You, sometimes when you're here, it sucks, okay? It's hard. It's not easy. And I close your ears. I tell this, I warn this to every class, because Professor Grosser, she has no mercy. She gives so much homework. You're thinking, what does she think I can do here? I mean, what doesn't she realize I have other classes?
I invite you back every year, right? And I'm crazy enough to invite you back every year.
I know, she does. But I say that to say this. When you're in, now that I've been there for 10 years, and I learned this even my first year, you're going to get, it's all about problem solving, which we already discussed. What we do at my workplace, Meditech, is we make software for hospitals. From the time you walk into the door to the time you get your bill, you know, later. Or from the time you pre-schedule, actually, all the way through. We have software for the doctors, for the nurses, everything. My job, I'm in the update group, so we make sure that everybody has the latest and greatest software. The problem is, it doesn't always go smoothly. It's supposed to, and we're pretty darn good at it. We're really good. But sometimes you run into some situations where, here's a good one. Last night, a hospital in Montana, they decided, we strongly recommended to them that they not go through with this update until they get some new servers. Because their servers were so slow, they just couldn't handle the volume of data. No, we think we can handle this, not a problem. It's good. Well, I worked till about 9 o'clock last night trying to figure out ways to manipulate the code to hit the server less. Like, what could they avoid doing? Even though it wasn't a good situation. How did I end up getting there? The point is this. There's sometimes where you just want to, like, get up and run away. It happens. And you know something? You guys know that feeling because you've sat in this room and you've worked on this homework. And you know what? You get through it, and when you get through it, man, I got to tell you, it feels good. It feels real good. And that's all this is. It's about logic. And why I come here every year and advocate BCC is because I know there's two things that you're going to need. It's logic. Like you said, everything is logic. And that doesn't change. It's the if statements, the do loops. I mean, they can get complex enough where they start twisting your brain around. But you get that here. You get a solid, solid foundation. And you get to feel the pressure cooker a little bit. You're going to feel, if you don't feel the pressure cooker, I mean, move on, because there's more fun jobs out there than that. But, I mean, this is you're in a good spot. I can't think of a better profession for job security, for pay scale, for, I don't know. To me, it's just fun. You know, I like you said, it's all about puzzles. It's all about logic. I can't do this, but I know I can, and I just have to think how to do it. We haven't been able to do this up to this point, but, and my job is fun because we not only support the hospitals during the updates, but we're always rating utilities to make the process better and better and better. So even though I may not be in development, developing the source code, you know, the main code, I get to write my own programs. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. What else did I miss?
I don't know. What are some of the jobs that Meditech has in computing? What are some of the different kinds of jobs?
Well, we're doing a big overhaul right now. So there's a big push in development. The reason I didn't go to development when I started is, how can I say it? I had a mortgage, I had too many bills. And the starting rate, while my salary is good now, it wasn't super great to start. And all of our other facilities, there's one in Canton, one in Westwood, one in Framingham, one in Waltham. We have 3,000 people employed just in Massachusetts alone. And then there's the one here in Fall River, there's one in Foxborough. I didn't want to drive. Foxborough wasn't around then. Maybe that wouldn't have been so bad. But I didn't want to, to me it was too expensive to drive up there every day on the hour. So I said, no, I want to be here in Fall River. Well, at that time, the update group needed help at the Fall River office. So that's where I ended up getting planted. And I have no regrets.
So, but there's jobs in networking and web development.
Oh, gosh, yes. I can tell you this, at Meditech, are there any people here who are doing networking, planning on that? I can tell you this, at Meditech, I know the guy who hires the technical people, the networking people, and he looks for BCC graduates. You're pretty much, if you're a BCC graduate, you pretty much, in networking, you pretty much got a job. on the tech side.
And what about web development? And then you do that, some of that
development. Right now, we are switching. That's why I said we're going through major overhauls. Everything new that we're developing is strictly online. Everything's on the web. So all of our programs now, you're not going to call up a program, go to the screens in the program itself. You're going to be online doing it. Makes it easier for the doctors, the nurse, everybody. And that's our future. That's the future. So web, yeah. My supervisor, a weird situation. I just got a new supervisor a few months ago. That's all he did was web. He didn't even know the language other than I computing, which is kind of weird. Having a boss who doesn't, it's the first time I've ever done that, who doesn't even know what you do, kind of. But that's all he did was web. And he did access, BB. He had a lot of databases. And that was his job for the company. Anybody who needed a database and needed something online, they would call him. He would set up their databases. He would initiate everything. And he's one small peg. I would say that there's probably several hundred web people doing web design, at least. Non-programming jobs. My old boss, who was a tremendous programmer, he just went to marketing. You don't have to stay. That's the nice thing. You can do what you think you'd like. I mean, I think the stress was a little much for him, being a supervisor and all, so he took an easy job. He found the perfect job because it's easy and it's more money and everything else. And all he does is write scripts that somebody can narrate to, and it's almost like it's a software that they use. It's almost like a presentation. What do you call
PowerPoint?
Yeah, like almost like a PowerPoint, except the doctor sees patient so-and-so, and so-and-so will come up on the screen and go through. And this is all scripted. And then when he speaks certain things, the next thing comes up. So that's all he does, is he writes those programs for marketing, for sales, presentations. And he loves it. He starts at 7, he's done at 3:30. Not bad at all.
Okay. You got anything else you want more, or you look like you were done?
I think I'm done.
Okay.
I'm just telling you guys, sometimes you think it's tough here, you're where you need to be. That's all I can tell you. If you want to be successful in programming, you're in a good place. You're in a really good place. Oh, here we go.
And perfect. So, as I said, we'll do questions at the end.
Okay. Nice.
Oh, okay, I tell you, buttons in there.
You can take out my gift.
Okay, do you want me to log into my own profile?
You want to, it's up to you.
I just think it's going to take a while. Yeah, can you just log in? Because otherwise my profile's going to take 5 minutes to build.
You want me to get in?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I can pull these up. I'm very callous about
it. I don't think you as many USB ports as they used to.
Yeah. takes.
Yeah, we are painfully aware of it. I know this is just terrible. Okay, so my name is Steve Pichette, and I'm the cybersecurity officer here, and I do a lot of cool stuff with cybersecurity, okay?
Louder, please.
Okay. Can everybody hear me back there? Okay, good. All right, so my name is Steve Pichette. I'm the cybersecurity officer here at the college, and I do a lot of stuff on the internet, okay? So I know you guys are, like, taking this really cool programming class. So it's awesome. So I assume everybody knows what the internet is. So when I ask you what the internet is, you're going to say?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Do I have to?
Yes, you do.
The internet is basically a database where we can get information from all over the world.
Okay.
That's the way that
works. How many people agree with that? Many people agree with that. It's a big database, a pool of information. How many people disagree with that? How many people want to add to that definition? How many people think that the internet looks like this? All right, so there's like all this kind of stuff up here, like corporate firewalls, and then everything else is down here where you can Google and see it, right? That's what most people think the internet is, okay? This is actually not the internet, okay? How much of the internet can you see on your browser? Anybody know, percentage-wise?
Probably like 10%.
10?
Yeah. Because then there's dark web, which is probably much bigger.
That's right. It's actually 4%. That's all you can see. It's 4% of the internet, right? This is actually the internet. This is fairly accurate. It's like, slides a little, kind of getting old, but it's like, you know, once you like dip in, even like people who go to 4chan and Pastebin and these types of places down here, they sit just below the level. These are the places where the real, like, devious, nefarious stuff happens. Some of the worst sites known to mankind live down here. This is where rare gun trades, drugs, you know, child pornography, human trafficking, all this stuff. This is actually the internet, okay? This is where crime is largely committed on the internet, okay? So those of you who are in programming and you want to go down there and use a Tor browser to get there, I guarantee you, you will be tagged by the FBI, okay? Everybody understand what the MAC address is on your computer and your phone? Does everybody know what that is? What is a MAC address?
It's like the... you mean like the IP address?
No, the MAC address.
Oh, no, I don't know.
The MAC address is a hard-coded number that is unique to every single device that connects to the internet. Your IP address binds to the MAC address, okay? Your MAC address is contained within the IP address. So if you go out there right now and say, I want to go out there and blow up the White House, okay, something like that, you are literally going to get a call from the FBI in about 30 minutes. Why? Because they know exactly where you are, okay? And so that's the idea, right? So everything in here is trackable, all right? You go down to this area, they're going to know, okay? Unless you're very smart and know how to, like, use a VPN and sort of spoof your IP address to get around down there, okay? So this is the kind of stuff that I do, all right? So believe it or not, there's like a lot of people that are following you right now. Like a lot, okay? In fact, you would be surprised. I remember when I did this example, like three sites, three clicks, 230 third-party sites following you. I promise you, you have no idea how many people are following you, how much information they're pulling from you, what they're doing with that information. Has anybody been following the Facebook scandal? Who's on... this is the easier question. Who's not on Facebook? Big ups to you guys, all right? You should all rethink your relationship with Facebook because they are just exploiting the information that you give them. You give it to them constantly, every like, everything, okay? And so... And most of places like Facebook are designed to, like, get you, they're trying to use your information to get you to know as much as they possibly can about you, the types of hats you wear, you know, everything, clothes, preferences, okay, the types of videos that you like.
This particular company that I'm showing you now watches 28 million hours of viewing of YouTube videos to see what your facial expression is going to be to assess whether that's something you like or dislike, okay? They know who you are, and they know what you like. Yes, sir?
I'll show you for the end.
Okay. All right. Doesn't matter. Millions of mobile users. How many people like think that if they disable cookies, they're in the clear? Okay. They long ago figured that out. They're way ahead of you on this. Okay, cookies are like, that's like last generation, okay? This is highly advanced software, because they want to know who's bought something recently. Okay, what'd you buy? Care to share?
Stuff on Amazon.
Yeah.
Regular.
Like what?
Like a book.
Okay, so you buy a book, right?
Yeah.
They're following you all the way down the sales funnel. Watching you, what you like, what you dislike. As you're clicking through, like you're getting like other customers bought this, okay? Because your profile is being matched up against other people. You're being grouped, okay? Did you notice like when I was back here, okay? What they do is every single session is assigned like an anonymous ID number. This is how they take your MAC address, your IP address. They tag it here and you're followed. You're being followed. Like, it's very Orwellian. Most people don't know this. And most people, when I tell them, want to throw their phones in the trash. Okay? So, but the idea is this. And this is how people in cybersecurity understand this. And this is why we work in this field. Okay? The poor cow, I always use the cow. You know, they've really done wrong by the cow. Okay? You know, we give the cow all the food and hay it wants. Okay? Actually, we give it corn, which is not good for the cow, which is why that's a whole other topic. Which is why they give them antibiotics, which is why you shouldn't buy meat at Walmart. Okay. So we give them protection and environment, okay, and they provide us all the things that we like. Cheese for our pizza, you know, steaks and milk and all that good stuff, okay? You are just like the cow, each and every one of you, okay? You get a bunch of free apps. Who has purchased an app recently? How many people think $5 is too much to pay for an app? Who would say, see, that's the problem right there. You are paying such a higher price, okay? So we give you all the free apps that you want, all the convenience, all the platforms, doesn't matter, any phone, anything. And then you just scrape your data and your personal information. Facebook has been collecting your phone calls, every messenger. They own it all of it, okay? If you read the user agreement, okay, you post a picture up there, it's not your picture anymore. It's their picture, okay? It's their picture. And Facebook has servers all over the world, okay? So once that picture is synced up to a server in Europe, okay, it becomes international property. There's so much things that, so many elements to like intellectual property that go on because of this. This is why Mark Zuckerberg is sitting in front of Congress today, okay? Because somebody finally like yanked the Cambridge Analytica thing and the whole Trump election, okay? This is how this all came about, right? I'm gonna ask this question. Who does not like Trump? Go ahead, raise your hand. Okay, no, this is a great question. Okay, I'll stick with you right there, my friend. So, when you see a video that says Donald Trump is a bad person, you click like on that video, you would say like, right? That's the idea. Once you say like, is she going to get more anti-Trump videos or less?
More.
She's going to get more. So, all of your critical thinking skills are suspended, okay? And you get chased down into a silo of anti-Trump people versus pro-Trump people. Don't you see how it works? It's like you're completely separated, and that's why the country is in... That's why there's this element of, like, conflict in the country. It's like how Trump won the election, okay? You know, he used these companies to, like, used your profiles to turn you against each other. It's fascinating. They're going to study at Harvard Business School for the next 10 years. Okay? How our democracy And the thing is, and I'll say this about Zuckerberg, and this is my personal thing, that kid has, and I call him a kid because he looks like a kid, that kid has no idea the immense power that that platform, Facebook, has. He has no idea how to use it. He has no sense of the world and how something like that could, like, manipulate people and change governments and republics and all these kind of things. So, yeah, this is why, like, cybersecurity is a big area. It's one of the fastest growing careers, okay? Look at this slide is 3 years old. I remember when Facebook came out. Does anybody know what it IPO'd at? It IPO'd at $24, okay? Does everybody know who Bono is?
YouTube.
Yeah, from YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay? Does everybody know that he runs a hedge fund? I bet you don't know this. Well, Bono started this company called Elevation Partners with a couple of rich guys, okay? And they bought 2-3% stake in Facebook when it IPO'd. Bono has made more money on Facebook than all the concerts and all the albums that guy has ever sold. Bono made like $1 billion on Facebook. Imagine that. I loved YouTube, man. It was all about, like, you know, the little guy and, you know, like, you know, rights and all this kind of stuff, man. He's a complete sellout. All right? Anyway, so the idea is data is valuable. And here's the thing. This is where it really gets interesting. There's bad guys out there, okay? And then there's good guys. And I will let you in on this. We had a student this semester who lost $10,000 on his phishing scam right here at the school. So don't think it can't happen to you, okay? She got totally conned out of her money. And it's, I'm telling you, it goes on. And a lot of times it starts with these guys over here, okay? They're not exactly good guys. So I'll skip the active black market. That's actually an active black market. How many people have gone out to the dark web? Actually, how many people would volunteer that they've gone out to the dark web? It's worth going down there. Just be careful if you do it, okay? So this is what cybersecurity is, okay? I deal with this, malware, ransomware, cybercrime. It's the fastest growing crime in America by far. It's like here's like cybercrime. Here's like everything else, like guns, violence, you know, breaking and entering. They're all way down, second on the list. But here's the job outlook. This is why it's such a cool career to go in. Okay? Information security analysts in the next 10 years will grow by 28% nationally. Okay, 28%. That's like unheard of. It's the fastest growing career. Faster than computer occupations and like 21% faster than all occupations combined. Okay? So how you get into this, it's like, you know, Priscilla is starting a very good certificate program in cybersecurity, which I encourage you to, like, look into. Okay? A bachelor's degree is really a good entry point to any of these careers. It can be in computer science, it can be in information security, it can be in programming, okay? It can be in computer networking. I personally have certifications that I need to, like, validate my skills. Okay? This is currently what the current salary ranges are for, like, well, people in my profession right now. This is actually kind of on the low end. Most of these salaries are between $100,000 and $150,000 a year. For real. I'm not making this up. In fact, here's the next slide. So this was an actual information security analyst position that was open last year when I did this slide. This is about 3 to 5 years experience with a bachelor's degree. And yeah, to me, it's like, it's a great career. It's super fun. If you like to, like, catch bad guys and do interesting things with technology, and I mean really cool things with technology, this would be a great career to think about, okay? So how do you get here? It's pretty simple. You can use a couple of paths. You can do many ways. You can take 4 semesters here, then hop over to UMass Dartmouth and get a computer science degree. Okay, this is a very popular one. And then I looked up, like, what the average computer science profession starts out at. It's usually around 71. I mean, you can really be pretty solid. You're going to stop to over 70,000 a year, and that's not even including like a benefit package with like 3 weeks vacation, you know, 401k and all that good stuff. So really, the total average value of a compensation package is around 100,000 a year. Okay. Sound good to anybody? Hey, it sounds good to me. I love doing it, okay? So, any questions? So, I'm happy to answer any questions on cybersecurity.
Why don't we bring everybody up then we can ask questions with any of all of them?
Yeah, oh, of course, sure. Yep.
I actually have a question for you. So you say that they notice like everything you put on Facebook and all that.
Yep.
So how come we always hear about different shooters and stuff having posted things, brands, before they go out, but nobody caught them? How can that be that nobody catches them then?
So I was just asked by the police chief. We have a new police chief that's starting soon, and he wants a technology that we're going to put in place that has geofencing, right? So if somebody says on Twitter, and they're within this fence, say, hey, I'm going to do this, it's going to ring on that console, and we're going to know, like, within minutes, you know? So we're already thinking.
So it's coming.
It's definitely coming, okay? So, yes, definitely coming. Fire away. Hey, get your money's worth. That's what these things are for. These are rare opportunities for you guys to, like...
And if I get up there, I'll give you more work.
Yeah.
So keep them busy for the next 15 minutes.
Steve, are you talking about? That software that's...
Rave Guardian. It's Rave Guardian. Rave Guardian.
Rave Guardian?
Yeah. Yep, go ahead, sir.
What do you recommend for... not only security on your phone, but maybe security at home on a desktop as well.
Yep. So I have a VPN. Does everybody know what a VPN does? Who does not know what a VPN does? Okay, a VPN is a virtual private network. So you go to a place and then exit into the internet from there, where your existing IP address and MAC address is stripped off. Okay, so when you're on the internet, you look like you're from New York. I always look like I'm from New York because that's the fastest way out for me, but that's how I do it, all right? So when I have that on my phone and I have it on my desktop.
And you can do that on iPhones as well?
Yep. I highly recommend you get a VPN. It's the only way you can really stay completely anonymous and safe.
You say VPN or VPA?
VPN. Okay. The virtual private network, okay?
Yeah.
How do you get it?
iCloud,
yeah, there's like a ton of them. I use private internet access. It's like $39 a year. It's great. It's completely enabled. It's got browser. It knocks off the ads too. Yep. Yes, sir.
I had a question for you. When you said that they can, the videos, expressions on your face, what do you mean by that? They're watching you, right?
Yep.
Are you telling me they're watching you through
yes.
my camera?
Yes,
all
they are.
All the time?
Yes, this is why Mark Zuckerberg is in front of Congress right now, because this is the kind of crap that's going on, you know? Like, you'll notice, like, in computer stores, they'll sell camera screens so that you can cover up your camera on your desktop. Yeah, you know, you download the wrong malware, like, they're going to be able to access your camera. Don't you know when you download an app and it says, would you like to grant this app access to all these things? And you just go, oh, yeah, I want all of that. Okay? You're never thinking about it, but that's what you're giving them access to. Yes.
Yeah, but you're never getting certification that, let's say if I delete Facebook off my phone, or if I mute, if I don't want my voice recognition on my phone, there's no guarantee that it's still not happening. You know, like, I can close this many apps, there's no guarantee nobody's still not listening to me. You know, and that's...
There's no guarantee. No guarantee. This is the only thing that you can do, like, for me personally, is the way I protect myself is I have a password manager. It keeps all my passwords encrypted. I have a VPN that keeps my identity hidden. And I'm not, like, salacious with my, with Facebook. I'm not out there doing this one.
Yeah.
I see this one all the time in the mirror, you know, with all the ladies with their, like, you know, all the lady parts hanging out. It's like, no, I don't. Because you got to remember that picture belongs to Facebook. The minute you say upload, you almost can't get that back, okay?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The thing that my friend was talking about a week ago, we were having a conversation, is that our phones now are used against us, they can use us against us in crime scenes. So, even though you have nothing to do with the crime, you didn't commit anything. And now, analogy that he used was, if, let's say somebody, two guys killed themselves, shot each other, 11 o'clock in an alley.
Yep.
And you're driving by, over the street next door, and they can see their phones and say, these two people together, and there's a third person who's close to them, and checking by, tracking on your phone, GPS. And that sort of thing.
Yep, all of that is.
That's all
possible. I mean, I'm going to show it to you, like, right now, like, the real thing. Okay, so I just downloaded this little app right here. If you look at it, it's called Lightbeam. Now, if you take a look at the screen, there's nothing happening, right? So now watch what happens when I go to the New York Times. Okay, just to give you an idea, I go to the New York Times. Watch how many people are going to start, like, jumping into this session. Oh, hold on. Jacking off. Refresh. Hold on. Don't make me a liar here. Hold on. Yeah, right.
They caught on to you.
Yeah, they're right on me, yep.
Yeah, something else to think about with Facebook, though, when you guys want to go get your, your job in computer programming, there's more companies looking at Facebook and looking at your previous posts and see what you're, what you were doing and stuff. So be careful what you post.
Yeah,
Yeah,
you do. You want to be careful what you post. I mean, you can't, I can't get the app to work. All right, I can't get it to work. It's such a. This is why I come early. Damn it. It ends up looking like I showed you on the slide. It ends up looking exactly like this right here. Oops. That's actually what it looks like. All these guys start to fly in from the side, because they automatically know that you arrive at New York Times website and the Times. Because all these people, what are they after?
Your information.
That's it.
What are you looking at? Information?
That's right. They're after your information. Okay? And they're going to get it. How are they going to get it? Because you're giving it to them. Okay? You just give it to them. It's amazing when you think about Facebook on its surface. It is an ingenious business idea. It costs them nothing to get new customers.
Question, when you're working on a project, do you do it by yourself, and how long does it take you for the program? Well, it depends. It depends what the program is. So, when I worked in Germany, I was converting reports that were homegrown in the countries. I had to take the requirements and make it into an SAP program. So, maybe a report would take me, 3 to 4, or depending on how complex it was, and make it running, and then you're going to have it tested by the business. And so most of the time, once you get the specs and you talk to the business on what they want, to do, what they want you to do, you're kind of on your own. You throw your headphones on and
you program it.
Well, it depends. Like, maybe a program might take me a week, depending on how complex it is, which is kind of cool, because sometimes I've had to create brand new stuff, which is, you don't think as computer programmers that we're really artists, because you think about it, you create a program or report that's never existed before. And, what's cool is I have reports that I've created, in Italy and France and everything that I've done, and people are using it every day, to make their job easier. So it depends on how complex the program is. Because first, you gotta, sometimes if you have, I had the old program in a different computer language to figure out how they did things, so you gotta kind of bug that and then make it into, program in the new system. And again, logic is logic is logic, and I really believe that, because no matter what programming language, you go to to or you learn, as long as you have that basic logic, you're really good. It'll take you, a few weeks to get up to speed to, the different syntax, but the logic is there, so.
The other thing I would just add real quick is when you go to a place, it sounds like there's a little apprehension. I'll tell you this. You're not going to walk in. They don't expect you to be an all-star on day one. And that every place trains you. That's why I always push this environment because it gives you a base. It gives you a foundation to work off of. And at where I work, it's total proprietary language. In other words, it's not Java, it's not SQL per se, even though that's part of it, but it's its own language. It's magic. That's the name of the language, by the way.
I'll add a little bit too. So for me, I have quite a few different projects responsibilities, but I have my top priority is that database I was talking to you about earlier. And within that, I do work totally on my own. There's not many programmers around me. I've just got processing people all around me. When I used to work years ago, there was a team of us, and we were assigned different projects, so we always just had our own little project to work on that worked with the other people. There it was nice because you could go to those other people if you had problems and everybody could look at it. But it's not that bad working on your own either because most of this is your own project. But as far as how much time it takes, that's one of the hardest things for me to know ahead of time. I hate being asked when I'll have something done because I really don't know how long it's going to take.
You don't know what problems you're going to run into.
Absolutely. It's
Maybe
that
was homework.
Hmm?
Your
class knows that was homework.
Yes, exactly.
To answer your question more directly.
It usually takes longer than you expect.
We do both. We have our own projects, and then we just all wanted to automate a lot of the system. We had a team come together, and we each divvied out little parts. If you do this, and you do this, and you do this, when we bring it back together, it's going to be pretty awesome, and it was. So it works both ways. You work with teams. I will tell you this. I've learned personally. I've hit so many roadblocks where I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I'll turn to the guy next to me, explain the situation. And there's something about that camaraderie. A lot of times I'll get the answer just explaining to him what my problem is. Oh, I know what I got to do. Never mind. Thanks. Appreciate your time.
You talked about web security and stuff and how it's got a lot of jobs. What jobs in specific, do they have for web security?
You mean cybersecurity?
Yeah, kind of what you were talking about there.
Yeah, sure. So most jobs in cybersecurity involve many of the disciplines that these folks have, right? Programming, engineering. So the jobs are, you can be a security analyst, you can design security into products, okay? In fact, most programming languages, they're starting to learn secure programming techniques using more catch exceptions, more unit testing, okay? So really security is being baked into a lot of the disciplines now. So, but yes, you can be a pen tester. You can, there are people that go out there and, hack into networks. They get paid to hack into it. Those guys are, some interesting characters. They know how to do things. We had somebody install a Bitcoin miner here on campus, which is really cool. Does anybody have a Bitcoin mining rig? Anybody doing it? You got one?
I was reading that a lot of computers are being infected with that.
Yeah.
I don't even know they're mining Bitcoin, right? Like that.
Yes, that's exactly right. So what happens is when you, so for example, your question is so how did somebody get into our network and install a Bitcoin miner? Well, it's easy. They used malware to brute force a password. Okay, they got in, they snuck in, they installed the Bitcoin miner, they snuck out, traceless. And the only way that we knew is because the machine, the CPU spiked up to like 80-90% and was stuck there. We're like, what's going on? Oh, we looked in the process and nope, there it is. So Bitcoin miner. So yes, there's lots of, there's like tons and tons and tons of careers you can do. You can be you can work on the legal side. That's the other thing. You don't have to necessarily be a technical person. You can work on the legal side. You can be a policymaker. There's lots of places. Yes, so
how long did you be in this business?
So I have a similar career path like these folks here. So I started my career at Newark writing software for like submarines, and then I left and I became a network engineer for many years, and then I had this idea that I was going to build homes for 10 years, which I did, which was really interesting because building homes and building software is remarkably the same, right? It's all about assembling processes and connecting them together. It's plumbing, there's electricity, it's really fascinating. So when I came back here, it's like, those skills, even though all those years ago I had used those skills, they completely follow you throughout your career. Once you learn how to think like that, then you know, like, in other words, you're paid high amounts of money because of your ability to think, right? So I always use this example. If I hold up a mirror in front of your face, you are going to say what? What do you see? You're going to say you see me, right? How many people think they're going to see their reflection? Does everybody agree with that? You're going to see your reflection? Okay. What's the right answer? What's the real answer? What do you see? Yeah, but is that the right answer? How many people think they see their own reflection?
Depends which side of the mirror you put in front of my face.
Well, that's true. So you're almost there. So what's the answer?
Copy.
The mirror. See, that's the difference, right? You're not supposed to see yourself. Like engineers, computer scientists, you're supposed to see the mirror because that's what you're paid to see. When you build bridges or build software, you can't see what you want to see. You have to see what you need to see. And that's why you take math and physics and all these types of things, because that strips away that bias and it instills in you the scientific method on how to like find things and like build things, okay? That's why you guys get paid a lot of money. That's why you do. Okay, and those skills follow you wherever you go. It's a shift in thinking of your entire life. Okay.
You
screwed. I gotta remember that one.
Mirror. Yeah. Oh, the mirror. Everybody. That's the idea. Like you're building a bridge, you can't say, oh, you know, I think it would look like it should look like this or look like that. No, it's gotta work. You know, so. Didn't you guys do that in science projects in school? Like build something in physics or like, you know, drop an egg from like a building? And yeah, that's all those kind of things. Mixling shots, you know?
Any other questions?
I have one. You said you kept your passwords encrypted. How do you do that?
I just have like a little, I have this thing called LastPass. It's a little app that I download. I actually got it here in college. So you basically, you remember one password. It's like a wallet. You open it up. You stick your passwords in there. They're all encrypted. Okay. And whenever you need a password, you just open it up on your phone. So you don't have to write them down. You don't have to use the same ones. Like I couldn't even tell you my passwords. I can tell you the one I know, and I can't tell you any of them. They're like 17 letters and characters long. So I don't have to worry about somebody trying to brute force my account to like install a Bitcoin miner. Right, so doesn't...
You'll use that password encryption on like accounts, like on other websites or...
Everything, yep. I use it everywhere. I use it for my bank, you know, I use it for everything. So.
What's the easiest way to get somebody steal all the information? Like, what's the minimum you can do to not be targeted, essentially, is what I'm asking for?
Yeah, I'll tell you, like, get a password manager and get a VPN. Like, you do those two things, you probably solve 90% of your problems. You should also Google yourself, too. That's probably a good one. All right? You should understand, like, what your personal information, how much of it is out there. And there's ways to delete yourself from the internet and like make yourself less visible.
And that's what the VPN.
Well, you can't do, yeah, well, VPN just masks your identity as you go out amongst your travels, okay? So if you want to go to some nefarious sites, and the FBI is looking for you, they're only going to be able to follow you back to the point that you exited the into the network, which is usually like a major city. And so when you buy a VPN account, you want to make sure that the VPN account says, we delete all logs, we keep no records of your presence here. You want complete anonymity. So that way you can be legit totally good. So you can go.
What's the name of yours?
I just use privateinternetaccess.com. It's, there's many of them out there. There's probably 20 or 30 of them.
But even still, they can guarantee you what's the worst thing. You know what I mean? It's kind of like...
Who? Private Internet Access?
Whoever is giving the information to somebody at some point, no matter what.
Yeah. They would have to be subpoenaed by a court in order to give it up. And even if they... That's the thing about, like, LastPass, right? It's zero knowledge. And this is what I tell people. I just had somebody do it yesterday. They lost their master password. And I tell you, don't lose your master key. Because you're the only one that has it. And once you lose it, the only thing that LastPass can give you is the hashes, the encryption, the encrypted passwords. That does you no good without the key.
Yeah.
So the same thing happens with VPNs. Okay? Same type of thing. Your traffic is all encrypted exiting out the node. Alright? Now, can the FBI do things? Yes. Okay? I just bought some cameras for my house. Okay? Now, I bought them in China. But I also bought them from a vendor that has American firmware on them so that I can back out all the back doors that I know are already in the camera, and I can install, like, I can harden up the firmware so nobody can hack into my network through my cameras. Which is really fun to do, by the way, you know, if you've ever done it.
I actually have a question for you.
Sure.
Okay. We're at that time. Thank you very much, all.